Today's daf is Bechoris Daf Chof Beis, and we will begin from the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Chof Aleph Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refua Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sora Alis. Zok the Mishnah, Rebbe Eliezer Ben Yaakov Oimer, Rebbe Eliezer Ben Yaakov says, Behema Gaso Sheshofo Chareristam Harezu Tikover. A Behema Gaso that discharged a large clump of blood. A charora is a cake. So this is a large clump of blood. It looks like a piece of cake. The halacha is, harezu tikaver. We're concerned that there may be a vlad inside, assuming that this is would be the first vlad, the first child of this behema gasa. It would have kedushas bechar. As a result, you have no choice. You have to bury it because it's asibanos. Even though you don't see a child, what you see is a chareres dam. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov said that we're concerned there may be a vlad, and if it's the bechar, it therefore maybe a clump that has kedushas bechar, so the halach is you have to bury it. Uptur mina bechayra. Additionally, if this animal is going to give birth to a child afterwards, that child won't be the bechar, because we're going to assume that this charer estam already had in it the bechar. Thus, this animal moving forward is going to be potur mina bechayra. So we're all familiar with the rule, Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Kavanoki. There are not a lot of halachas of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov in Mishnayos, but the little bit that there are, the kav, the little bit that there are noki. The halachas kemoisai b'chol makom. We've spoken about a lot of raid in the past. What about if there's a Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov in a braisa? What if Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov argues with Rabbi Akiva, where the rule is halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mechaveroi? So what takes precedence? Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov kavenochi, or halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mechaveroi? So this is all raid, there's kesef mishnas, and there's a lot of interesting things to talk about. But anytime you see a mishnah that begins with the words Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov oimer, so this is Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. It's one of the few, but it's also naki. Halacha kemoisai bechal makam. Zok the Gemara. Tani Rabchia taught in a brayso. In a metama lebe magav lebe masa. As a result to this chareres dam that came out of this behema gasa, where Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov said two things. Number one, harezu tikaver, because we're concerned that there's a vlad inside. If there is a vlad, it's the bechar. It has kedushas bechar. Additionally, he said this animal moving forward is going to be potim and bechar, because this was the bechar. Stating that, Rabbi Chiya said that this chareres dam is not metama loy b'maga v'loy b'masa. In other words, there's no tumas nevela. Freik the Gemara meachadena metama loy b'maga v'loy b'masa. Mighty cover, right? So there's two obvious questions. If you're telling me that it's not metama b'maga b'masa, you're telling me there's no concern that there's a vlad, because if there's a vlad, it would be tamei tumas nevela. And it would be metama b'maga b'masa. So the question essentially is, how does it stand with the Mishnah? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov said in the Mishnah that in the charer estam we do assume that there's a vlad. Then Rabbi Chiya said it's not metama b'maga b'masa. Mamon of Shach. So the Gemara asks both questions. Number one, a mighty cover. Why do you have to bury it? Burying it implies there's a vlad. If it's not metama b'maga b'masa, then you're suggesting there's no vlad. Says the Gemara, k'dei lefarsimo shenifta roman abachayr. Meaning, really, we're not concerned it's a vlad. And it's for that reason it's not metama b'maga b'masa. If that's the case, then why do you bury it? Because thing that the halacha is, that this animal moving forward is going to be potim and abuchar, if you wouldn't bury the chareres dam, and then you would say the animal's potim and abuchar, it would look like we're just bypassing the laws of bechar. So there's a marisayin issue, there's a v'yisem nekiyim issue. We're worried of it looking like that we're not going to take the laws of Bechayr into consideration with this animal. So it's for that reason we said, let's bury it, act as if it had Kedushas Bechayr, when in reality, there's no chash kedushas bechar, because we're not concerned that there's a vlad. But the Gemara asks the obvious follow-up question. If that's the case, lememra chenifter ma bechayra, if you're telling me that in fact it is potem and abechar, lememra the vlad mahalya, then you fight the saying that it's a vlad mahalya. If that's the case, what's going on over here? If you're telling me that it's not metama b'maga b'masa, you're telling me that there's no chashash that there's a vlad. And if you're telling me that harezu tikaver uptur v'nabachayra, both of those halachas suggest that there is a vlad. So the Gemara says you have to say Amr Rabbi Yochanan mishum bitul b'roiv nagubah. You want to know if there's a vlad or if there's not a vlad? For sure, there's a vlad. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov's halach is predicated on metzias that if a behema gasa discharges a chareres dam, we assume for sure there was a vlad inside. If there was a vlad inside, pturim v'nabachayra. That's where we start. You're for sure going to be potim and abachayr. Stating that vlad, being that it's submerged in blood and whatever the animal discharged, we say that it's batal b'roiv to its taruvos. If that's the case, it's not metama b'maga b'masa. If that's the case, there shouldn't even be a halacha that you should have to bury it. If that's the case, why do you have to bury it? It's only kidei lefarsim or sheniftera min abechayra. So the way you look at it is we assume that there's a plot, stating that it's for that reason you're part of min abechayra moving forward. But as it relates to dealing with the Kedusha of the Vlad, and as it relates to dealing with the Tumah of the Vlad, that you're not concerned with. And the reason is because for that you have a Bittul Beroi. So the Bittul works for the Tumas Magu Masa, the Bittul works for the Halacha of Harezu Tikaver, but that Bittul does not work to pater, to say that it's not going to be Patur Min HaBechor moving forward. So therefore, the Halacha is that you're Patur Min HaBechor because at the end of the day, we assume that there was a Vlad, stating that it's not going to be Tumas Magu Masa because for that you have the Bittul. And the reason Harezu Tikaver, despite the fact that the Bittul should work for Harezu Tikaver as well, is Kidei Lefarsimo Sheniftera Min HaBechor. So the Gemara was Rabbi Yechon Letameh. This Rabbi Yechon and his Lushi Tosik. I'm Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Lizma Yaakov, Rabbi Shimon, Amar Dover Echad. Rabbi Yechon said, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon, as in Rabbi Shimon Barichoy, they said the same thing. Lizma Yaakov Adam Mar, this Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon, Mayhi, the time we learned in a Mishnah. And this is a Mishnah, Mesachtes Nido, Hashilya, Bebayis. If there's a Shilya of an animal or a shilya of a woman, the halacha is habayis tame. A shilya is the sack where the fetus is inside the mother. So if you have a shilya and a bayis, so we assume that there's a vlad inside the shilya, and it's for that reason the bayis is going to be tame tumas oil, assuming it's not alive. And says the Mishnah loisha shilya vlad, not that the shilya is a vlad. It's not elish ain shilya b'loy vlad. If there's a shilya, there must be a vlad inside. So even if you don't see the vlad, the halacha is the bayis is going to be tame. Shimon Oimer, Reb Shimon says vlad nimay katchalayot. It's true ain shilya b'loy vlad. So if you see a shilya, for sure there's a vlad. But at the same time, we could assume that the vlad was bottle, if it was bottle, it's not going to be tummy, tumas oil. That same concept is the concept that we're discussing right here. So you see how Rabbi Yochanan understood Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov by virtue of the fact that he said Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon Amru Dabar Echad. What's the tzad hashava between Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon? They're both talking about tumah v'tayra with a fetus, etc. But the real commonality between the two halachas is this idea that if a child comes out of its mother, whether it's an animal or whether it's a human being, but it's bittul to everything else that was discharged, you would say the halacha of bittul b'irayv. Either way, Zokti Gemara Vayta. Tran Hasam, we learned in a Mishnah, this is a Mishnah in the seventh parak of Masechtas Aholos. Ein l'nefalim, psichas hakever, ad she'agilu roish kepika. So one of the halachas l'moshe misinai that govern the laws of Tumah v'Tahira is the fact that Tumah Belua does not have an ability to be Metama. So the only time something can be Metama Ba'oyol or in any other way is if that Tumah is exposed. But to the extent that the Tumah is Belua, literally it's swallowed, it's in something else, the halach is it doesn't have to be Metama. The context in that Mishnah Masechtas Baholos is a woman that Lo Yaleinu miscarried a child and the child is still inside her womb. So that child is Tomei Tumas Nevela. But as long as it's inside the womb of its mother, it's a Tumah Belua. And as a result, it doesn't have the inability to be Metama Tumas Meis, or if it's an animal, Tumas Nevela. The question is, at what point do we say that this child that's inside its mother does have an ability to be Metama? So plus you'd say when it's born. The answer is no. As soon as the Rechem starts opening up a little bit, that would be enough for it to now be exposed to the point that we shouldn't treat it as Tumah Belua, and it would be able to be Metam. So Zok the Mishnah, when do we say that a Nefel is considered no longer Belua? Meaning, when do we look at the opening of the Rechem as Psichas HaKever, so that it's not Tumah Belua anymore? Says the Mishnah, Cheagilu Rosh Kepika. You need that the head of this fetus should be like the head of a pika. So a pika is a ball of yarn that was on the top of a spindle. So if you're spinning yarn, it's on top, picture the ball, and the yarn is coming from it. So that's the ball that feeds the yarn that you're using. So when the head of the fetus is like a pika, that's when you have this halacha. Zok the Gemara, my kapika, I'm Rav Huna kapika shal tzemer. This ball of yarn. I'm alechia by Rav Huna. Rebbe, he said, Rebbe, parish shal shesi or shal erev. So apparently, there was the shesi yarn and there was the erev yarn. Right? The shesi of erev is literally a vertical line and a horizontal line. And the
balls, these pikas, were not the same size. The chassis was smaller and the Erev was bigger. So if you're telling me halacha, ain l'nefalim psichas hakever achi agilu roish kepika, so you have to know, is it the chassis pika, which is a smaller share, or is it the Erev pika, which is a bigger share? Amalei, so you told him, Tanya, pika shal chassis, divi Reb Meir, Reb Yudai Mishal Erev, it's machlek is tanok. Reb Tzadik was a third shita. He said, Mishayiru tefifiyos, that this year of when we say that the opening of the womb of the mother is considered psichas hakever, it's not mitshia gilu rosh kepika. It's nothing to do with the pika, the head of the fetus being like a pika, whether it's a pika shal shasi or a pika shal air. But the shir is something else. The shir is when you could see the tefifiyos. My tefifiyos, I'm Rabbi Yudah Mashmu, Mishurim Lezbra, Tzadik, Kachoyim, Mefashim, Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim, they used to say pshat, kepreda, it's like a mule, shekairas lahatol meimel, that when she kneels to urinate, the nearest pika betoich pika. So Rashi says that a mule, when she kneels to urinate, she's kairas yoisa mi behema v'chaya. She kneels a little bit more dramatically than does an ordinary behema v'chaya. I'm reading from Rashi. Umitoich kriyosa, because of the way she kneels, niftach rachma ma'oid, her rechem, her uterus, opens up very, very wide. V'nirim kematem berechem, and you're able to see creases and folds inside her uterus. So when you can see those folds, when the rechem is so open, that's when we view it as psichas hakever, and it's at that point that if there's a dead fetus inside the animal or inside the woman, it's at that point that the halacha is going to be that it has an ability to be metame its surroundings because it's no longer tumah b'lo. More on this. I heard two halachas regarding pikas. Achas shel shesi v'achas shel er. One halacha, pika means piki shel shesi, and in the other halacha, pika means piki shel er. The eli l'farish. I'm not sure which one is which. I don't know what these halachas are. Rav Huna said I had a mesayrit that there's two halachas in Dalit Chelk Shulchan Aruch and Shisha Sidre Mishnah and Talmud Bavli that relate to a pika. Right? So you don't think of that. Usually a halacha has to do with a kizayis, a kabeya, a kaysevis. No. There's two halachas that are related to a pika. One of them is dafka the pika shel shesi. The other one is dafka the pika shel erev. And Rav Huna said I don't know pshat. Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. He had learned by the great Rav Yoichan. Rav Yoichan and Rav Yoichan said shalosh pikos shamati. He said I heard three pikos. Achi shel shesi. One halacha is related to the pika shel shesi. Achi shel erev. Achi shel pika gedolo shel sakar. So the pika that the people that would weave sacks were was a much bigger pika. So I heard three shiurim related to pika. One is the shesi and the erev. The third one is the pika gedolo shel veinu gafarish. He also Ravin when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael. Pirshav shmeid Rav Yoichanan. He said over in the name Rav Yoichanan shel isha kishel shesi shel behema kishel erev. Meaning this halacha of ein l'nefalim psichas hakever ad sheyagilu roish kepika. So we asked the question before: is it the pika of the shesi or is the pika of the erev? So this is where Ravin said in the name Rabbi Yochanan that if we're dealing with a woman, pika means the pika shal shesi, the smaller share. If you're dealing with a behema, pika means pika shal erev, that's the bigger share. What's the pika gedolah shal sakan? That's a third, completely unrelated halacha. The time we learned to the price of gush avol mibeis apras. If somebody has a clump of dirt that came from a beis hapras. So beis hapras is a field where you know for a fact there was once a caver there, or maybe even a beis hakfaris, but it was plowed. It was destroyed. So as far as we know now, there's nothing there. The halach is the midraban, and you have to be chayish for toma. Because you know, once upon a time, there was toma there. There were atzamais, and there was basar ameis. There was a lot of chalokim of the mace that are metama. So midraban, and you have to be chayish for tuma. So that's known as tumas beis hapras, that if you have offer from a beis hapras, it's tummy. So the price says gush habami beis hapras, or may Eretz Amin, or if it came from Chutz La'aretz, the Chachamim would goyze tuma before Churban Bayis Sheni on Eretz Amin. Sheyuroi kepiko gedoy v'shal sakot. So how much gush do you have for it to be tummy? So the shear is kepiko. Which pika? The pika gedoy l'shal sakon. Shahu, by the way, kechoysam ha-martzufin. It's the same size as the seal that the martzufin used to use. They would tie, Rashi says, sakin gedoylim with something. That seal that they used to tie the sakin gedoylim is the same as the pika gedoy l'shal sakon. And oh, by the way, if you're still not sure what this is, a third maramakim, v'yeshnei betzada elyoin, shal magufas ha-choves ha-lachmes. So the people in Beis Lechem, when they would make casks, they would make covers for their casks, so the top part of the cask would slope upward, it'd get narrower as it gets to the top, right? So you should be able to hold it with a handle. So the upper part was as big as this pika gedoyl shel sakon, which is also the size of the chosam hamartzufin XL. So either way, we have over here the Halacha is related to pika. That's a shear in halacha. Not something that often comes up. In fact, Amiran, Rav Huna, and Rav Dimi, they all said, I heard of two halachas, three halachas related to a pika. I wasn't even sure what the halachas were. What are they related to? They're related to the halachas of Ein Linefalim Psichas HaKever, Achi Agilu, Reish Kapika, which is a Mishnah Masechtas Nida. Another halacha with regards to the Gush Habomi Beis HaPras, Umayaretz HaAmim. Why are we talking about that over here? Because as we saw, it's loosely related to the halacha that we learned in our Mishnah, which is of an animal would miscarry a charer is dam. Do we treat it as bechar? Do we not treat it as bechar? The Mishnah over here of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Zok the Gemara Vayta. Omer ish lokish mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. Very long the Shagamara. If somebody buys tzir from an Amma Ores, so tzir is fish brine. So you have fish, you salt it, you add water, spices. We'll see, it's very important what the recipe is. We're probably not going to get to the recipe of the fish brine today. It's going to have to wait for tomorrow. But that actually lends itself to some fester rate. But either way, if somebody buys this fish brine from an Amma Oretz, the halach is mashikei b'mayim. You can put it in contact with mayim, with a mikvah, v'tar, and it's going to be tar. So a few things. Number one, an Amma Oretz in the times of Chazal was someone that was choshen on Tumah V'Tahira. So the Prushim, they used to be very careful when it came to Inyone Tumah V'Tahira, but the Amoritz wasn't so machben on Tumah V'Tahira. It wasn't machben on a lot of things. The Amoritz wasn't so machben on Tumah V'Tahira, although the Gemara says, Rav, Rav Amoritz, our master. But one of the things that was unique about the Amoritz from a halachic perspective was that he wasn't machben when it came to Tumah V'Tahira. So for that reason, if you buy something from an Amoritz, it's Becheskes Tameh. So you have to deal now with the ramifications. Not only did he give Tumah V'Tahira, but also, is this tummy? So anytime you buy something from an Amma Oretz, there's a Tumah V'Tahira consideration that you need to calculate. That's number one. Number two, the halacha is that water, mayim, can become tummy. Of course. If mayim becomes tummy, there's a way to be mitahir the mayim. Now this is already a chiddush. How do you mitahir mayim? Right? Mayim is the ultimate mitahir. How would you be mitahir mayim? You put it in a mikvah? So how are you mitahir mayim? The answer is something called hashaka, which means you take the water that's tameh, you put it in contact with a mikvah, and the halacha is that by putting the water in contact with a mikvah, the water somehow becomes tameh. Rashi over here in the sugi explains a little bit the lumness of how that works, but that's not really our sugi. We don't have to go into that. But that's the halacha. The halacha is that if you have mayim that comes in contact with a mikvah, tahira, becomes tahar al yidei hashaka. The third thing that we need as an introduction to this halacha, and that is tzir, fish brine, meaning the discharge that comes out of the fish when you're salting it and when you're making the brine, that in and of itself doesn't have an inability to become tame. So if you're making fish brine, so you can have a recipe. There's going to be water. There's going to be the dover hayoytse min hadag, what Rashi calls zeya. This zeya that comes out of the dag. The zeya doesn't have an ability to become tame. You don't have to mitire it. It can't even become tame. The mayim itself does have an ability to become tame because mayim is mekabel tuma. But at the same time, there's a way to be mitire it as well. The way to be mitire it is with hashaka. As I said, Reish Lakish, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, not Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. This is Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, who lived in the times of the Amiram, who was Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's grandson. But either way, as Reish Lakish said, if somebody buys sir from an Amoretz and he's concerned that it might be tame, so he wants to be mitire it. So he said, there's a very simple leitzah, mashikei b'mayim. Vatar, do hashaka. Let it come in contact with a mikvah tahira, and at that point, it's already going to be tar. Meman of shaka, he said. Why? E maya rubaninu. If this is roiv mayim, keep it up with the hashaka tahiriloh. If it's roiv mayim, so we look at it as mayim. If we look at it as mayim, you could be metahir al yedei hashaka. V'yirub etzir ninu, and if it's roiv tzir, in which case hashaka doesn't work, because the chiddush of hashaka was only said by mayim, but if it's roiv tzir, then it's not a problem because sir can't become tummy anyways. So he said, "What of shachdu hashaka? It's either roiv mayim or it's roiv tzir. If it's roiv mayim, hashaka is going to work. And if it's roiv tzir, then the mayim is bottled to the tzir. Then there's no tumah." So he said, "What of shachdu hashaka? Am I doing hashaka? Everything is going to be fine." But he continued. He said, "My ikum. I know what you're going to tell me. There's one possibility over here. Mishum hanich miyuta de mayim. What if it's roiv tzir?" But there's therefore at least a miyut of mayim. So aren't you worried about the miyut of mayim? So like we said, hanich batlu baruba, it's batlu baruba, it's not an issue. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, loish hamra litva ben pitoi. This halacha was only said with regards to if you buy tzir from a ma'am ha'aretz,
and you want to eat it, and the way you're going to eat it is by taking your bread and dipping your bread into it. In the times of Chazal, everything was dips. That's why you'd make a hamotzi, and it would patter everything else in the Suda. It's the way people ate once upon a time, was everything centered around the bread. Today it's different. Most low-carb diets don't allow for lafas. But the point is, once upon a time, that's the way people ate. And being that's the way people ate, that's the halacha, that you make a hamotzi lachem and aretz, because that was the ikka part of the suda. So Yirmiyah said, if you're eating this fish brine the way people eat it, which is litbol behem pita, he said, that's where you have this halacha. You could buy the tzir from an amaretz, do the hashaka, maman of shach, it's okay. You don't have to worry about tumah v'tai. Avol kedera. But let's say you're going to take this fish brine and you're going to cook it now. Then the halacha is, it's not okay. This maman of shach etza that Rish Lakish said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya is not going to work. You know why? Because matzah minas minoy v'ner. Because what happens when you cook it? You're going to stick it in a pot, there's going to be water. If there's going to be water, so what was a miyut of mayim initially, now, because of all the water that you have in the kedera, is going to change the ratio. It's going to change the proportions. And now you're going to end up with roiv mayim. If you're going to end up with roiv mayim, therefore, you're going to have a problem. Because the miyut of mayim initially didn't bother me, because the miyut of mayim was bottled to the tzir. But now that I have roiv mayim, now already it's going to be an issue. So again, what's the hezber in the Gemara? The hezber in the Gemara is as follows. Mayim has hashaka. Tzir does not have hashaka. So when you have a taruvos of tzir and mayim, if it's roiv tzir and a miyut of mayim, and you put it in contact with a mikvah, the miyut of mayim is not benefiting from the hashaka, because it's bottled to the tzir. The tzir is not benefiting from the hashaka, because hashaka was never said with regards to the tzir. So really, there was no hashaka that was poyol on this taruvos. Now, it's not a problem, because being that the mayim is a mute anyways, so it's bottled to the tzir is not makabel tumah, so the mayim is not makabel tumah. So it's not a problem. But that's all true as long as the mayim is a mute. But what happens if you're going to add water? So once you add water, now the mayim is already going to be arrived. If the mayim is going to be arrived, now the bittel of the tzir to the mayim doesn't work anymore. If the bittel doesn't work, now the mayim needs hashaka. It didn't have hashaka. What do you mean? It had hashaka. No. When it had hashaka, it was the mute. Being that it was the miyut, hashaka never worked for the mayim. It only worked for the tzir. So it never had hashaka. It's not a miyut anymore. As a result, you're going to have a problem. You have mayim tmeyim that you bought from Nam Haaretz. So Rish Lakish said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, this whole gishmak of a man of shach, just do hashaka. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yirmiyah said, that's true. But it only works if you're using the fish brine as a dip. But if you're not using it as a dip, you're using it to cook with. So then the water that you're going to add to this taruva is going to flip the proportions. At that point, matzah minas mina minir, what does that mean? It's going to be ma'ir. It's going to awaken the sleeping giant, the sleeping minority. That miut of mayim is now going to be nis'oirer al yedei the new mayim, and as a result, you're going to have a problem. Yosef Rav Dimi v'kama lo l'hashmaita. So Rav Dimi again was sitting, and he was saying over this halach, Amalei Abaya. So Abaya told Rav Dimi, v'chituma shebatla chazra v'nei'ira, lam nishakasha. He says, I don't understand. There's halach abitul b'raif. When the mayim was a miut in this taruvos, the tzir was mevatel the mayim. Why don't we say that at that point it's over? The story's over. The tzir was mevatel the mayim. There is no mayim anymore. So what are you going to tell me? Now it was chayzev in air. What do you mean it was chayzev in air? It's gone. Bittul makes it command the lesser dummy. So Bittul makes it command the lesser dummy, meaning what Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying, and Rav Dimi was saying over in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, is a chiddush alumnus. That when you have a bittul, when there's a taruvos of a roiv and a miyut, the miyut's still there. And the miyut can always come back to haunt you at some future day. And you always have to be cognizant of the proportions to make sure that it didn't switch. Because just because I have a roiv and a miyut right now doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be that way forever. Abaya argued that I don't necessarily see it that way. Abaya said that l'chayra, once the dover muet this bottle, at this point, it should be over. So who cares if later you're going to add water to it, and later that mayim, which is a miyut, is going to be a roiv, and you're going to say, oh, the mayim never had hashaka, because when there was hashaka, it was bottled to the tzir. No. L'chayra, once it's bottled, it should never be a problem. So Abaya said, v'chitum esh batla chazu v'neyayra amalei. So Rav Dimi told Abaya, v'at loy tizbro. What, you don't hold that way? If that's the case, how'd you learn the following Mishnah? A Mishnah in the fifth parak of Mesachtes Trumos. Sa'ah truma shenafla le'meya chulin. If a sa'ah of truma falls into 100 sa'ah of chulin, the halacha is their tahar.
Before we learn this Mishnah, just again, a little bit of an introduction. So again, this is not a long daf, but there's a lot of information here. The halacha is that ordinarily, if you have a taruva, it's of Issa v'heter, so midday raisa, bittel b'roif. Midday rabbanon, according to some shitas, midday raisa as well, you would need shishim of heter kineged Issa. That's as it relates to an ordinary taruvas of Issa v'heter. If you have 60 times heter kineged Issa, that's when you say bittel. There are some exceptions to the rule. There are certain areas in halacha where bittel is not roiv, bittel is not shishim, you need more than shishim. One of them is truma. The halacha is that if truma is nisarev with things that are not truma, chulin, you would need 100 times of the chulin kineged the truma in order to have a bittel. That's the halacha. So whereas nevela, for example, is batel b'shishim, chazer is batel b'shishim, basa v'cholav is batel b'shishim, when it comes to truma, truma is not batel b'shishim, truma is batel b'meya. So you would need 100 times chulin kineged the truma in order for it to be batel. That's the first halacha. There's another chiddush with regards to bittel b'truma, and that is anytime you have a taruvas of truma and chulin, a proper taruvas, you have 100 times chulin kineged the truma. It's a 100% has hashkochas habadats this bittel. It's perfect. It's the katchila you can be soimich on the bittel. But there's still another halacha. And that is, you have to take out one saw from this taruvas. Meaning, ordinarily, if you have a bittel, you have a bittel. Everything becomes mutter. This is machlik, it's rajman, the rush. Could you eat it all at once? Could one person eat all of it? Lach balach, yavish b'yavish, yeridei simen kuftes, gishmak is stuff. But that's all with regards to an ordinary bittel where you could for sure eat everything. There's nothing to talk about. When it comes to a bittel of truma and chulin, the halacha is you're not allowed, you have to remove one sa. You have to remove one sa. What do you do with that one sa? You give it to a kayin. That's why a kayin, because a kayin's allowed to eat truma. So you give it to a kayin who's allowed to eat truma. What's the reason for it? It's again, not something we have to go into right now, maybe tomorrow, but it's less related to the Issa Truma, it's more related to the Chesha Mishpat component. Because being that Truma belongs to the Kayhanim, it's quote-unquote Mamon HaShevet, so you can't just go ahead and rely on a Bittel to take away money from somebody. Ain Holchem B'Mamon Acher Arayv, but you can't just go ahead and take somebody else's thing through Bittel. So Bittel works for the Issa Truma, the V'chol Zor Lo Yoichal Boy, the Issa, the Misa B'Dei Shemayim, for that Bittel's going to work. But as it relates to taking away the Mamon HaShevet, for that it doesn't work. And it's for that reason that halacha is you have to remove one sa which corresponds to the sa of Truma. Even though when you remove that one sa, there's no reason to assume that it's really Truma. If anything, called the Parish, Meruba Parish says that there's only a 1 in 101 chance that it's Truma. So chances are it's not the Truma, but we treat it as Truma. You give it to the Kayin, and the Kayin does with it whatever he needs to do. This halacha was a little bit different, this Mishnah. The Mishnah is discussing not a saw truma shenafla lemeya chulin, but rather saw truma temeya shenafla lemeya chulin tahirin. This saw of truma wasn't just ordinary truma. It was also tameh, so to add insult to injury. It's truma, which in the context of a czar is a bad thing. Usually truma means it's kaddish, but when a czar has truma, it's a problem. But in addition to that, it was also Tameh. And this adds a few unique characteristics to the Shaila. Number one, when you look at the Taruvas, you're not only danning whether the Taruvas has in it Truma, whether it's Aser or Mutter. There's also a Tumah V'Tahira component. Is this Taruvas Tameh or is this Taruvas Tahar? That's number one. Number two, when you remove that one saw of Truma, it's not as simple as just remove the saw and give it to a Kayan, because a Kayin is allowed to eat Truma, but a Kayin's not allowed to eat Truma Tameya. And being that he's not allowed to eat Truma Tameya, so you're going to give it to a Kayin, what's a Kayin going to do with it? So you're going to assume it's Tahar? You're not allowed to assume it's Tahar. Because at the end of the day, it might be Truma Tameya. For him to go ahead and burn it, which is usually what a Kayin would do with Truma Tameya, is also an issue. Why? Because maybe it's Tahar. So it's for that reason, this posed a unique challenge in halacha. Number one, you have to dan the taruvas itself, not only from a truma and chulin perspective, but also from a tumah v'tahira perspective. And number two, what you have to dan is the fact that you're going to go ahead and give it to a kohen now. What exactly is a kohen going to do with it? So what's the halacha? What do you do with this? You have a saw, truma temeya, shenafla l'teichmeya chulin tahirin. That's a machlokes tanoim. Rabbi Eliezer says, tireim, that what you should do is you should remove the one saw. That's what you always do when you have a taruvas. So anytime you have a taruvas of truma and chulin, it has to be 100 times chulin versus the truma. You're always going to remove one saw. You're going to remove one saw here as well. Vitei rakev. But whereas ordinarily, what would you do with the saw? You would give it to a kohen. Here you can't give it to a kohen because the kohen can't do anything with it. The kohen can't eat it. because it might be truma tameya. The kohen can't burn it because it might be truma tahira. We're not relying on the bittul for this for some reason. But the point is that we're going to remove this one sa. And being that we don't know what the status is from the tumah v'tahira perspective, you can't even give it to the kohen teirake. If you just let it rot, it is what it is. Ani oimer yisasha nafli yisasha also. But once you remove it, the rest of the taruvas is going to be fine. Chachamim oimer, the chachamim say tala. Then no, there's no reason to remove it. What we say is that it becomes batel. That one sa is batel. The halacha is v'teyachel, and the kohen is allowed to eat it and the rest of the taruvas as if it was chulin tahira. In other words, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you have to remove the one sa, and that one sa you can't give to the kohen, as it because the kohen himself doesn't know what to do with it. According to the chachamim, you're going to remove the one sa because you always remove the sa. But at the same time, we're going to assume that the sa that you removed is for sure tahar, and as a result, the kohen will be able to eat it. So the nekudas hamachloikis between Rabbi Eliezer and the chachamim, just to be clear, is not whether you're going to remove the saw. You're for sure going to remove the saw. The question is, what are you going to do with that one saw that you're going to remove? According to Rabbi Eliezer, teiroim, you're going to remove it, the teirokev, and you're just going to let it run. According to the Chachamim, no. The halach is tala. Tala means, Rashi says, ti batel, it's batel, v'teyochelim chulin, and you can eat it together with the rest of the chul. Zokta Gemara, stating that, even though the Chachamim said that you're allowed to eat all 101 saws over here, as if it's tar, but there is an important caveat, and that is, number one, you can eat it nikudim, dry, oikoloyos, you can toast it, we'll see what that means, oitilosh me peiros, or you can knead it, but only with me peiros, oitischalik leisos, or if you want, you can knead it with water, but you have to make very small bulkalach out of it. The point is, it shouldn't be one area that has in it a kebeya. What's the reason for this? The reason for this is because the chachamim don't want this taruvos to ever be able to become tameh. We'll see why in a second. But they don't want it to be able to become tameh. So even though they're telling you you're allowed to eat all 101 sa, but you have to eat it in a way where it's never going to become hukshal kabel tameh. So just don't add water to it. If you don't add water to it, it's going to be fine. So either just cook, eat it dry, or toast it without any water, or use meperis, which is not hukshal kabel tameh. Or if you're going to use water, make it so small that it's pachas mikabeya, which is the minimum shear for tumas oichlin in the first place. But we want to distance himself as far as possible from tumah. Tani Allah, the Braisa continued and said, oisuchulin, the Rabbi Eliezer, my tealeyem. What was the machloikis in Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim? The machloikis was only with regards to the one sa, but as it relates to the other 100 sa, everybody agrees you can eat. Rabbi Eliezer holds you can eat the 100, just the one that you remove. That we are concerned might be truma tahira, might be truma tameya, so no one's allowed to eat it, not even the kohen teirakev. According to Chacham, you can eat all 101. But those other 100 that you could eat, according to Rabbi Eliezer, what's the halacha? Same exact halacha. Yeyachlo nekudim, oy kloyos, oy yiloshim amei peiros, oy teschalik leisois, uvach leikevei v'magamecha. It's the same Shulchan Aruch. I mean, you have to make sure that it doesn't come to a position where it's possible for it to become tamei. Amar Ula, and Ula said, matam, what's the reason for this? What are we worried about? Like, why are you worried about it maybe becoming tameh? What's the issue? The issue is that there was a saw of truma tameya that became bottled into the taruvos. So it became bottled. The whole, it was 100 times heter keneged the iser. Like, what's the problem? L'chayre, it should be 100% fine. And certainly, according to Rabbi Eliezer, we're the one saw of tumah that you were worried about, we ostensibly removed. Right? What was the whole point? Remove one saw, v'teirakev. So, according to the Chachamim, it's all tahar. It's all chulin. So, what's the issue? Why are you worried about it becoming tameh? What's the problem with this taruvos? According to Rabbi Eliezer, it certainly shouldn't be a problem. Because Rabbi Eliezer even said that when you remove the one, you assume that that's the one that's tameh. So, there's mamish no tumah over here. So, if there's no tumah, why is it a problem? Amar Ula. Ula said, matam, what's the reason for it? Yovi kav chulim. You know what we're worried about? We're worried that someone's going to look at this, he's going to say, oh, it's all tahar, gevaldik, right? He's going to take now a kav, that's a small shear, it's a shishis of a saw, it's a sixth of a saw, of chulim temeim, and he's going to be ma'arivit, he's going to mix it together with a kav plus, meaning a little bit more than a kav, of this taruvus right here. Sovar, he's going to say, ivatlino baruva. Let me be mevatlo baruva. Now, Tosfos says right away, how could you do this? Ey, mevatlo isa l'katchilo 101. You're not allowed to do that? Okay, akasha famaisa. But for right now, this is what this person's going to do. So he's going to take a kav chulin, tmeim, from somewhere else. He's going to put it together with this taruvus, thinking that he can go ahead and now make a bittul for kivan the ikahai mashu. The problem over here is that this taruvus has in it a little bit of tumah. It's true the tumah was batal, but the little bit of tumah that was batal never went away. It's still there. It's waiting to be awakened if something's going to come now to be ma'irid. Now that you're going to add tumah to the mix, so the little bit of tumah that you're going to add to the mix is going to be ma'irid. The little bit of tumah that's there, and you'll say, matzah minas minoi v'neir. You're going to awaken this sleeping minority. This sleeping giant is now going to wake up again. The point is, what do you see from here? You see that there's a concept of in a bittul b'raiv. You don't just say, oh, the little dove mu'ut that's there is gone. You don't have to ever think about it again. No, it's not true. It's something that can haunt you at some future date. And if something's going to happen later that's going to change the ratio, the proportions of this taruvos, at that point, it's something that you're going to definitely have to take into consideration. Again, we had a shaila between Rav Dimi and Abaya. They were discussing tzir. Tzir is fish brine that you buy from an Amma Aretz. This fish brine was made up of the zeya of the dag, what comes out of the dag, and it was made up of water. You bought it from Amma Aretz, and you're concerned that it may be tameh. You're not sure. It may be tameh, it may be tar. So Rish Lakish said over in the name of Rav Dimi that there's an etzah. There's a way to bypass this whole tumah v'tayir issue. Do hashaka, mamon of shaka, it's going to be fine. He said, why? This taruvus is either roiv mayim or roiv tzir. If it's roiv tzir, then it's not tumah because tzir is not even mekabel tumah, so there's nothing to talk about. It's a moot point. And if it's roiv mayim, the hashaka is going to work. Stating that, Rav Yirmiyah said it's not so simple. He says, you know why? Because maybe it's roiv tzir, which means that there is a miut of mayim, so that when you did the hashaka didn't work, but it was okay because it didn't have to work. Because tears anyway is not mekabel tumah. But being that there's a little bit of water there, what will happen if later you're going to add more water? Now that you add more water, the water is not going to be the miut anymore. Now the water is going to be the roiv. If the water is going to be the roiv, so now already you have roiv mayim. If you have roiv mayim, now the taruvus will become tameh. So if the taruvus will become tameh, you're using mayim that's tameh. It's a problem. What are you going to tell me? The hashaka that I did? The hashaka was never a hashaka. Because when I did the hashaka, the mayim was bottled to the tzir. And it's not chal hashaka on tzir. So essentially, I now have a situation where the mayim is the roiv, where there was no hashaka. That's not an easy gemara. As a result, there should be a problem. That was what Rabbi Yirmiyah said. So the Amiram were discussing this. And Abaye said, I don't hear what Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying. Because essentially what he's saying is that even though at the time that you did the hashaka, the mayim was bottled to the tzir, but if you're going to add water later, now all of a sudden it's going to be a problem. Right, it's a big chiddush. Think about it. So you have a taruvus right now that's tahar. Right? The hashkochan, it says it's tahar. Because it's roiv tzir, miut mayim, tzir is not makabel tumah. You're going to add a little bit of water, now all of a sudden it's going to become tameh. Like, how'd that happen? How does something become tameh? Comes in contact with an avela, with a sheretz, with a maize, with a zava, and that's how something becomes tameh. Now, I added water. You literally added a little bit of water. Follow the direction, says add water. And now, by adding water, all of a sudden it became tummy. Abaya had a major issue with that. This doesn't make any sense. How could you add water and suddenly create tumah? Okay, the lumbus is, there was always water, and the water was always tameh. Narvaz, it was in a matzav of bittel. Now that the proportions change, it's not in a matzav of bittel anymore. This is the lumbus that the Amiram were discussing. Very gishmak. You can hear a svara this way, you can hear a svara that way. But kind of the Gemara said Rav Dimi, but Abaya, this is not a shaila that's really up for debate. This is not this should not be an Amiram discussion. This is a Mefurish Mishnah, a Mishnah with Rebbe Eliezer and the Chacham. What do you see in the Mishnah, Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachamim? So we're discussing a not such straightforward case of Bittul Beroiv, which is where you had a saw of Chulin that was Tameh, and it was Nisariv into 100 saw of Chulin that was Tar. So ordinarily, when Truma is Nisariv with Chulin, you need 100, that's fine. You remove one, you give it to the Kayin, and everything is good. But over here it was Tameh, so over here there was a little bit of a different Shaila. So over here there's Machlekes Rebbe Eliezer and Chachamim. What was the Machlekes? There's one Nakuda. When you remove that one, what's the halach of that one? Can you treat it as if it's chulin tahirin because of the bittel? Or no, you have to be worried that maybe it's chulin tahirin, maybe it's truma tahirin, maybe it's truma tmeya. We're not sure what to do with it. But let's just say teirakev, we don't touch this. According to Chachamim, everything is going to be fine. But as it relates to the part that you can eat, according to the Chachamim, all 101. According to Rabbi Eliezer, 100 out of the 101. With regards to the chelik that's that tzad hashava shebehem, The Nakudas HaMachloik is not what's Nageh the Sugya. It's the other part, the easier part of the Gemara. As it relates to the other 101 according to the Chacham, what do you do with that? The Halach is you make sure it doesn't come in contact with water. Don't let it become Tomei. You know why? Because there may be a little bit of Tomei in here. Who cares if there's a little bit of Tomei? It was Batal B'meya, the Tomei you're worried about. The Truma was Batal. The Tomei is certainly, the Truma is Batal B'raif. I don't even think it needs shishim. So what's the problem over here? I says, oh, you know what the problem is? I'll tell you what the problem is. What happens if you're going to add tumah later, thinking that, oh, this is all tar. Very nice. You have this taruvis of tar here. So you're going to add your tumah. I aim of atle nisla katchila. Okay, akasha. But the point is, you're going to go ahead, create a new taruvis. The little bit of tumah will be awakened, and now you're going to flip the proportions. It's a mefurish mishnah. It's not a for the debate Rav Dimi told Abai. It's a mefurish mishnah that it flips. Zokta gemara. Abai told Rav Dimi, it's not true. It's very different. It's fundamentally different. He said, in this case, what's the concern? The concern is you're going to bring more tuma, thinking I'll be mevatel this tuma with this tahira. So over there, the tuma that's being nitoisif to the tuma, that could be ma'ira tuma. But in our case, Abaya told Rav Dimi, what we're discussing with the tzir, you're pouring good, cold, kosher water into this taruvus over here. It's not tome. How in the world is ta'ira being ma'ira tuma? Over there, yeah, the taruvus that had in it a little bit of tome, that was bottle, it just came in contact with tuma. Tuma can be ma'ira tuma. Tahira does not have the ability to be ma'ira tuma XL. So it's interesting when you think of the halachas of Roiv, the sugyas of Roiv. So the beginning of the third parak of Masechtas Becharis is not usually what comes to mind. Maybe you'll think of Chulin daf Yud Aleph, Nida daf Beis, sugyas above a Kamba, above a Metzia, above a Basra. So the sugyas of Roiv that are scattered throughout Shas, primarily in Nosh and the Zikin. But the truth is, there's many, many Yisoidis that are tucked away in these Gemaras right here as it relates to Roiv. So I think it's Kedai maybe over the next day or two to try to speak out a few Ha'aras. So let's just start with one. And that's a beautiful Ha'ara that Rabbi Bienenfeld shared with me. And that is that we spoke the other day about the Shitas HaRosh. The Rosh is in the Sugya of Tokfu Koyin, it's in Bava Metzia, Daf Vava Mebez, where the Rosh said a chiddush that even though Achri Rabim Lahatos, the halach is that if you have a Sofik, Roiv is Machriya Sveikos, but Roiv does not have the ability to be poshut the Sofik to the extent that we're going to say that there's no Sofik anymore. After the Roiv, even though in halacha we follow the Roiv 100%, Mahadrin Minah Mahadrin. We mentioned the Pesachei Tshuva says you're not even allowed to go keneged a roiv. It's a question of being kaifa be'ikr. If you say, I don't want to be saying b'chan a roiv. Torah says, achri rabim lahatos. A yid is mechuyev to go with the roiv. There's no bal nefesh yachmer keneged the roiv. That's why you state the Pesachei Tshuva. But the point is, at the end of the day, despite the fact that halacha says you follow roiv likatchila, but at the same time, we're still going to be open-minded to the point that we're going to acknowledge that what we have in front of us is a suffix. And it's for that reason the Rosh said a very big chiddush, that any time there's a halacha that you need vadai, and suffix is excluded, even if you have a roiv, Roiv cannot give you vada. He said it to answer the Rishonim's kasha, kafat zechem na minuyin. If you had a bunch of animals, and one of the minuyin, one of the animals that you counted already from Isa Behema, now jumped into the taruvis of the other animals. So it's mavur in the sugya that all the animals are part of Isa Behema, you don't say bittel b'roiv. The kasha is why? Why don't you say that? That one animal that jumped in is now going to be bittel b'roiv. The Teret says the Rosh is, because being that by Ma'is Behema, there's a loch of Asiri Vadai, Veloy Asiri Sofik, Bittel B'Roiv can't tell me Vadai. I can't know for sure that when the animal goes Tachas HaShevet, that this animal right now is Vadai Chayev in Ma'is Behema. What do you mean there's a Roiv? Yeah, Roiv doesn't create Vadai. Roiv says that it's okay, I can eat it, I can follow it. Roiv says that she's married, that she's not married, that he's alive, that he's not alive. But in terms of Vadai and Sofik, Roiv does not have an ability to be Ma'chriya Sveikis. So we mentioned Rabbi Kivegas, Chuvin, Cheluk Bey, Simon Kofres, that the Shmeitzer brings the Shmeitzer based Tezvav and the Pnei Yeshuin, Kedushin Daf Ayin Gimel, Vadvarim Atikin, and that is that it's Mavur from different places that L'chayra, you do use Roiv to be Machrius Vegas. The one kasha that we asked is every Maisa Behema, the halacha is that if an animal's a treifa, it doesn't count for Maisa Behema. How do you know if an animal's a treifa or not? I mean, the only way to really know is to cut open the animal and start doing what you have to do. The Teretz says you assume Roiv. How could you assume Roiv? I thought Roiv doesn't work. So we mentioned the Yisoid of the Achroinim, and that is the chilik between a Ruba, the Issa Kamon, and a Ruba, the Lesa Kamon. By a Ruba, the Issa Kamon, over there, this Rosh
was said, and that is that when you have a roiv, a roiv doesn't have a koyach to create a vade. Aruba de lesa, come on, maybe that's something that's going to be different. I'll just share with one beautiful ha'ara, and that is something that's also a shtikl negeya halacha l'maisa. The halacha is sofik brachas l'hakim. If you have a sofik, whether you're mechuyev to make a bracha, you don't make a bracha. The truth is, that's not entirely true. It's only true by a bracha that's a derabanan. But a bracha that's deiraisa, there's suffic brachas as lahakos. So, for example, birchas ha-toira, which is deiraisa. So, if you have a suffic, if you made birchas ha-toira, over there you mechuyev to go lechumra. The mishabrura in the end of simin reish tes vav. So, the mishabrura brings this halacha. The halacha im nistapik leal eze bracha im beirachayloi imu davashu deiraisa chayzum mevarich v'imu derabonon lo yachse v'yavarich. Says the mishabrura umashma mikama achroinim. The isra yesh bedavah lachzor levarach. That it's actually usher to go ahead and make that bracha. Fight. Kosvo achrein. Da filu yesh svek svek lachzor bracha. What happens if you have a svek svek, or whether you have to make a bracha or not? Kigoyim. Sofik ochal kezayas oylor. You're not sure if you ate a kezayas. The intim tzoloy maloy ochal. And even if you didn't eat a kezayas, shema halacha da'al birya filu pachas mezayas mevarach. I mean, you have a scenario where it's not a sofik if you have to make a bracha. It's a svek svek. Mishbura has a case. It's a svek svek. This tut stodim that you have to make a bracha. Afilu hachi, says the Mishbura, svekoy lahakel v'lo yevarach. So it says the Mishbura, what if I don't have one sad that I have to make a bracha? I have tut stodim that I have to make a bracha. It's a svek sveka. It doesn't matter. Even if it's a svek sveka, the halacha is svekoy lahakel v'loy yevarech. So Rabbi Binefeld asked that we know the Pnei Yeshua. The Pnei Yeshua is a Masechtes Ksubis Daf Tes. Pnei Yeshua says, what's pshat that by svek sveka you go l'kula? Safik deiraisa l'chumra. Safik drabana l'kula. Safik deiraisa you go l'chumra. If it's a svek sveka you go l'kula. So if you ask the man on the street, what's he going to tell you? Why is it that a svek sveka you go l'kula? He's going to say, because it's just like a diluted safik. Where the suffix is, it's one suffix. There's one side that it's mutter. So for such a suffix, you go l'chumra. But if there's tut stodim that it's mutter, when it's tut stodim, that's already different. Tut stodim, that's like a more diluted suffix. And by such a diluted suffix, over there, you go l'kula. That's the poshut pshat. Stating that to Pnei Yeshua in Ksubas Daf Tes and the Sugya Pesach Pesuach says a major lamedus. He says the reason svek sveka is l'kula is not because a fazas sofik loy nemar the halacha of sveka deraisa l'chumra. Mitzad the echus of the sofik, it's the same if it's one sofik or if it's two svekas. In fact, you'd have to start getting involved in percentages and statistics, right? When you talk about a sofik, it's actually 50-50. What if it's 60-40? What if it's 70-30? What if I have a svek sveka, both stodim are a small stodim, statistically speaking? But the Yeshua says, that is not the lumdus of svek sveka. Svek sveka really should be treated like a regular sofik. What's the reason then you go l'kula? It works with the din of Rav. Because when you have a svek sveka l'kula, essentially, what you have is one side that it's a problem, and you have tut stodim to say that it's mutter. You have roiv stodim, some achrayim explain the Pnei Yeshua a little bit differently, but it works with roiv. There's roiv stodim lahakel, and it's for that reason it goes l'kula. And if you look in the Pnei Yeshua there, and it's kedai, ayin sham, the Pnei Yeshua understood svek sveka mamish like a roiv. He gets involved in rameya shita, chashina lemiyuta, smoich miyuta lechazak. What do you mean smoich miyuta lechazak, chashina lemiyuta? We're talking about svek sveka. No, because svek sveka is it's a roiv. It's not just a way of saying it. It's a real roiv. The Pnei Yeshua understood svek sveka that it works midin roiv. If that's the case, l'chir, what's pshat in this Mishabru? Mishabru says a halacha that if you have a svek sveka in a bracha, the halacha is sveikoy lahakel v'lo yivarech. You look at it as a sofik brachas. Why is it a sofik brachas? If the gedder of svek sveika is, you look at it as roiv, so it's not a sofik anymore. You have roiv tzadim that you have a chiv to make a bracha. If you have roiv tzadim, you have a chiv to make a bracha. Macha bracha, right? What's the ish? Macha bracha. So why shouldn't you make a bracha? Look how you have a roiv over here. And if you have a roiv, the roiv should be machriya. Again, a svek sveka starts off with a sofik. Of course, we understand that. That's why it's a svek sveka. It's right. This is like a sofik ben benoishal sofik. It's a svek sveka. Of course, a svek sveka starts as a sofik. But when we say svek sveka l'kula, what are we essentially saying? We're saying that even though it's a sofik, it's a svek sveka, but at the end of the day, I have a roiv, and roiv should be machriya the sofik. So post de facto, after I implement the halacha that svek sveka you can rely on, I shouldn't have a suffix anymore. So what started as a svek sveka should end up not being a suffix at all.
Because every svek svek is mutter. It's mutter because of roiv. If roiv has an ability to create vadai, so chayim don't have a suffix anymore. So why is this a suffix brachas lahakel? Mishnah Berurah says suffix brachas. If you're not sure if you have a chiv to make a bracha, what's the halacha? You don't make a bracha. What if I have two stadim that I have a chiv to make a bracha? Svek svek, it doesn't matter. Still says the Mishnah Berurah, look at it as a suffix brachas. Suffix brachas, no way. Why? If it's a svek svek, you have two stadim, they have a chiv to make a bracha. So I have a roiv. Rav is telling me I have a chiv to make a bracha. So now I'm vaday mechuyev to make a bracha. If I'm vaday mechuyev to make a bracha, why shouldn't I make a bracha? Unless you're going to say the rush. Like the rush, that even after I have a rav, me de suffik loy nafka, it's still viewed as a suffik. So it's true I have a svek sveka that I'm allowed to use, which technically should create a matziv of vaday, but at the end of the day, it's still suffik. If it's still suffik, I still look at it as a suffik brachas lahakel. It's for that reason that I won't be able to make a bracha. Half of a fellow. That's the hara. But either way, just to digress for a moment with something that's a little bit in yana diyoma. So in the Shabru Paskins, in the end of Simon Reish Tezvav, if somebody has a svek sveka, whether he's mechuyev to make a bracha or not, what's the halacha? Safik brachas lahakel, you don't make a bracha. So in the Sefer Shalmi Nisan from Nissen Kaplan Shlita, so this many years ago. So in Simin Gimel, he asks many kashas on this Mishnah Berurah, and two of them are very much minyan d'yomer. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch says as follows: if somebody forgets to count Sfiras HaOmer one night, so what's the halacha? You continue counting, but you count without a bracha. Why? Because there's a suffix whether each day's sfira is a mitzvah bifnei atzmai, or whether it's sheva shabbosos temimos tiena, it's all one big mitzvah. On the tzad that they're individual mitzvahs, just because I forgot one night doesn't mean I don't have a mitzvah to count the next night. But on the tzad that it's one big mitzvah, once I miss one night, I'm out. It's not temimos, so I can't be mekayim the mitzvah. So what do you do when you have such a safek? So you do the mitzvah, you don't make the bracha. As it relates to the mitzvah, it's a safek mitzvah, of course you do it. As it relates to the bracha, it's a safek brachas. The halacha is the hakel. Says the Shulchan Aruch, what would be if somebody has a safek? Somebody's not sure if he counted Sfira. So you actually, you can't remember. Did I count or did I not count? Says the Mechaber, im shochach levorich be'echon min ha'yomim, ben yom rishon, ben mishar ha'yomim, soif b'shar ha'yomim, v'loi brach. Aval im hu misopik im dilak yom echad, v'loi siper. Let's say he's not sure. So what's the halacha? Yisper b'shar ha'yomim v'bracha. You should count with a bracha. So if you have a suffix, you can't remember. So the halacha is, you're supposed to count. Says the Mishnah Berurah, why? The ikah svek sveka, because it's a svek sveka. Shema loy dilei klal. Maybe you really counted. The imtim tzolemish adilek, and even on the side that you didn't count, shema halacha ka'isim poiskin. The chol yoyim v'yem, mitzvah be'atz. Maybe every day it's a separate mitzvah. And as a result, being that it's a svek sveka, this tut stodim that you're mechuyev to make a bracha. What do you do if you have a svek? You rely on svek sveka. It's not suffik brachas anymore. Suffik brachas lahakas, that's when I have a suffik. I have a svek sveka. Svek sveka is different than a suffik. Suffik you can go to chumra. Svek sveka you can go to kula. Whatever the svek sveka tells you to do. So if I have a svek sveka, it's a mefurish halacha in Shulchan Aruch that the Mishnah Berurah explains something that's not terribly loshiach, where you have a halacha that if somebody's not sure if he counted with a bracha, not continue counting with a bracha. What do you mean? It's a suffik brachas. I'm not sure. Yeah, but Zakti Mishnah Berurah, it's a svek sveka. Because according to some poskim, he anyways could count with a bracha. We're not sure if that halacha is like those poskim or not. And you only have a suffik. Svek sveka, you're allowed to count. What do you mean? I thought svek sveka by brachas, you go lekula, like the Mishnah Berurah said. And the end of Simin Reish Tezva, another halacha. Shochach v'loy bira kol alayla. What happens if somebody didn't count Sfira at night? So everybody knows halacha. You didn't count that night. So what do you do during the day? You count, but again, you count without a bracha. Shochach v'loy bira kol alayla. Yispar bayoy v'loy bracha. You're supposed to count during the day without a bracha. What's the pshah? Marav shach. Right? You ever think about that? What's pashah pshah? Why are you counting without a bracha? You have a mitzvah to count? Then you should count with a bracha. If there's no mitzvah to count, then you should count without a bracha. So what's this idea of counting, but counting without a bracha? Teretz is very simple because the machlekes ha-poiskim, if you can count Sfiras HaOmer during the day, it's not clear if you could or can't. It's a shayla. So according to the poiskim that you can count Sfira during the day, it doesn't have to be balayla, it could be during the day, then you mechuyev in Sfira. According to the poiskim, that whole that Sfiras HaOmer is only balayla, then you can make a bracha. So what we do is, again, it's a safek. We're not sure. So I mean that it's a safek, we count, but we count without a bracha. Zok to Mishnah Berurah. Okay, just read it inside. Shachach v'loy birech kol alayla yisper b'yoyim v'loy bracha. Di'esh lachosh l'das ha'poiskim de'ein zman sfira elu balayla. Says for that reason, that's the halacha. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Miu, another halacha. These are mamash all halachas everybody knows. Another halacha that everybody knows. So what happens? You forgot to count that night. So the Gabi made a clock. The Olam shouldn't forget to count. Whoever didn't count Sfira, count Sfira. Oh, Gavali, you forgot to count Sfira. So you count Sfira. Of course, you know how to do it without a bracha. What do you do that night? Now already you're allowed to count with a bracha. What's the makar? It's this Mishnah Berurah that we're about to learn right here. It's in Hilchos Pesach, Simin Tov Pei Tes, Sibkot and Zayin. It's halacha every kid knows. But the underlying lumdus, not everybody knows. So what's the svara? So why? Why moving forward now can I count with a bracha? L'chaira, according to the point, why couldn't I count during the day with a bracha? Because maybe I missed Sfira. Because maybe Sfira Sa'im is only Balayla. So why the next night am I allowed to count with a bracha? Maybe I missed Sfira. And if I missed Sfira, so I'm out. Right? Pash the kasha. How much most simple question in the world? If you didn't count that night, the halach is you can count the next day. But without a bracha. Why? Because according to some poskim, you can only be Mekayim Mitzvah Sfira Sa'im by Laila. By Yom, you can't be Mekayim Mitzvah Sfira anymore. So how am I going to count with a bracha? Stating that, the next, that night already, I'm allowed to count with a bracha. Why am I allowed to count with a bracha? Maybe I was only allowed to count at night. But right, when I counted this morning, I didn't make a bracha. Because maybe you only allowed to count at night. If I'm only allowed to count at night, then it comes out I missed. So if I missed, I shouldn't be able to count with a bracha. So what's the difference? If I miss completely, then the halacha is you don't count with a bracha anymore. If you missed that night, but you counted during the day, then you could count with a bracha. If I missed that night, and I counted during the day, being that when I counted during the day, I didn't make a bracha, you see, I'm concerned that maybe it's not really Sfira. So if it's not really Sfira, just like I can't make a bracha now, why should I be able to make a bracha that night? What's the answer? He doesn't explain why. But in Shari Tzion, he explains why. He says, you know why? Mishum dahavi svek sveiko. Because now it's already a svek sveiko l'chiyuva. Sofik, the b'dievet, sfiras mana kol me'ez letz. Vimtim, slomi kadas ha-poiskin den sfir b'yoyim. Afal pikin, harbi poiskin maskimit. Ene yom ha-ma'akvin zeze. You know what the difference is, says the Mishum Berurah? The difference is very simple. That when you miss, it's one sofik. If you forgot to count an entire 24-hour period, you missed the whole day. So how can you can't count the next day? Because according to some poiskin, you missed. And if you miss, it's a problem. As a result, you're out. But over here, it's not one suffix. It's a svek sveka. This two stodim that maybe I'm allowed to count with a bracha. Number one, maybe counting at night, maybe counting during the day counts. Pun intended. If that's the case, so I didn't miss. And even in Timtzu Loimeh that I did miss, there are poiskim that hold that you're allowed to miss. And it's still considered one bracha. In other words, when I didn't count at all, it's one suffix. If I did count, I just counted during the day, then it's a svek sveka. There's two tzvotstadim that I'm chayev. What are the two tzvotstadim? Number one, maybe I didn't miss, because I counted during the day. Number two, maybe the halach is that even if I miss, I'm allowed to count with a bracha. So for that reason, it's going to be okay. Meaning, when I miss completely for 24 hours, it's one suffix. What's the shayla? The shayla is it one big bracha, is it one big mitzvah? When I want to count during the day, it's also one suffix. I want to count that during the day. So it's a machlekes poskim. But when I want to count at night, but I counted during the day, then it's two sveikas. Because now already there's two tzadim to say I'm chayev. Number one, it could be every day it's his own mitzvah. And number two, maybe when I counted during the day, it counted. And as a result, I didn't miss. If it's a svek sveik, it paskins the shari tzi, and you're supposed to make a bracha. Bottom line is you have a stira. The mechab, the Mishnah Berurah, in the end of Simin Reish Tez, Vav and Hilchos Bracha says, Sofik brachas lahakel, even by a svek sveik. Right, binafel to aura, and maybe, loit the pnei Yeshua, mesachtes ksubas daf tez, that svek sveik works me din roiv, so you have a raya, that roiv doesn't make it not a sofik, and that's why you have the halach of sofik brachas lahakel. Very gishmak. But at the same time, we seem to have a stira in the Mishnah Berurah. You have the Mishnah Berurah in two places, Simin Tov Pei Tez. A little cheshbendik, but both related to halachas that everybody's familiar with. Mamish, everyday type halachas during Sfira anyways. And that is that when there's a svek sveka, you do make a bracha. So it's something that requires a yishuv. Ayin Sham, the Sefer Shalmi Nisan Simen Gimel, he says some major lumdus, big svaras to answer these kashas and other kashas that he asks. But we'll stop here.